But I can walk now pretty good. I have to be real careful where I walk. I can't be out when it's raining. And I have slipped down twice since I've had my last surgery. And nothing but the goodness of my Lord kept me from being in a wheelchair. And that's what I face each day. It's on my mind. I have to keep it on my mind. And sometimes it makes me not enjoy things I could enjoy. Because since I live alone, I feel like I can behave myself, but it's hard to not get out and visit. I have about 7 older shut-in that I love very much. I have one across the street, it's 89. Then I have one up at Refuge, she's about 78 or 80. And I have one over behind the high school, she's around 83. And I have another one that had fallen and broken her hip. She don't get about much. And I try to go to see each one of them once a week. But since this last surgery of my knee, I went too long and my knee got in mighty, mighty bad shape. And if it hadn't been for a lot of prayers, I would have a stiff leg. And I couldn't drive. I couldn't go to the store. I couldn't get my groceries. In Lincoln, you don't have a delivery boy that brings you groceries to you. I did get a box put out in front of the house because when I first got home, it was so stiff I could bend it, but not. I didn't think well enough to drive. So I had a post office box put out in front, and I wouldn't take anything for it because a lot of days, if it's raining, I can venture out there to get my mail where I wouldn't go to the post office. And if it wasn't for the good Lord helping me to get over that fall I had, that really injured my knee. But I kept trying and I kept trying, and if I couldn't drive the car, Lincoln does not have any delivery service from the grocery store. But they do have a good deli in the 3B grocery store, and I have patronized it, I guess, as much as anybody, because just being by myself, I can go there and get me 2 vegetables and get by with it. I don't eat as much as I used to because I know if I fall and my knee bends behind me, then I'm in a wheelchair. And I try not to think about it, but I'm not very smart to begin with, and I sure wouldn't be smart if I didn't think about it. And I try real hard to take care of where I walk. I don't walk at night. If it's raining, I don't go out. But I can get in my car and go to the grocery store real, real bad weather. And the manager, well, the owner of the store now, he told me he didn't care how much I walked. I have to walk somewhere each day. And round through the house, you get drunk pretty quick. I run into something, I bump into a chair or something, and so I feel like I just thank the Lord every day that he didn't take my knee away from me, because if it was my left knee that was stiff, I could still drive and get my groceries and go to church if it's raining. And I have 2 old friends. I love to go pick them up and take them to church. They walk. They in their 80s. And I just it does me, it makes my burden feel lighter if I can do something that makes somebody else happy. I love to visit my shut-ins, but I had to leave. I had to leave them off for a little bit during the times. I can walk to some of them's house, but most of them live refuge. Some live over behind the high school. I have two over there, and I try real hard to see them, but I'm about to get back into where I can go to see them. And they don't get out. They don't have a car, and they don't drive. And you're glad to see anybody when you have to stay in that much.
When was your first knee surgery?
Oh. It was about, I'm going to say 14 years ago.
Okay.
And it was on in Pell City. And Dr. Lawrence J. Lemack was the surgeon. He used to come to Pell City. And he was the bone specialist there. But soon as he got age on another doctor who was above him, he wanted to stay in Birmingham. He lives in Birmingham. And I do know a man from Spain, a dancer from Spain, came to see Dr. Lemack, and he tore up his heel and the leaders up back of his leg. But Dr. Lemack fixed him as good as new. They had his picture in the Birmingham News one time. And I don't love him. I just nearly worship Dr. Lemack, for he told me, and he told the ladies that went with me to the hospital, that I had waited so long, and I made the big mistake of letting our doctor in Pell City draw fluid off of my knee, and that's a big no-no. But I was hurting so bad, and I knew I was by myself, and I just didn't know how I was going to make it, and it made me put it off. And I went back again for Dr. Haynes to drain it, and he says, "Hon, I can't drain it anymore." And I thought, well, what am I going to do? He said, "It's too near your time for surgery. And if it gets anything gets infected, he won't do it." And he said, "You have gotten to where you can't walk." So Dr. Lawrence J. Lemack is one of the finest bone doctors. Of course, there are others, I know that, but I would put him above anybody I know. And he is so kind, and I thank the world of it.
Talk a little bit about Dr. Colvin, because I've heard a lot of people talk about him.
Well, now Dr. Colvin, I wish I could tell you, Alan, how many years his daddy and mother lived down there in that big two-story house, by the church.
Oh,
his daddy was a doctor. Don't know about it back. Right opposite the Baptist church.
That gray one over there?
Uh-huh, that,
yeah.
You know, that big old two-story
house.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he was a doctor. He and it was another doctor up on that hill. It's a black family in that house now. Right back, go down by the church. It was, because I carried Curtis Mitchell up there to cut something out of Curtis's heel. It must have been a bad splinter or something. He would go out in the country to see people. Back then, a lot of people didn't have a way to come. And Dr. Colvin, Dr. Gus's father, but anyway, he would go out, he would go anywhere. He had a buggy and a horse. And then later, he was able to get him a Ford some kind of little boy thought. But he would go out, and the people would say, "Doctor, I don't have any money." He said, "But I got some. I got a bushel of peanuts, or I got a turkey, or I got a hen, or I got a pig." They would give him something every time he went to the house, regardless. And he never refused anybody. He never refused a soul. He would come home with things he would have to maybe give sell to somebody else. But then after his dad, then doctor came, and he wanted to be a doctor. And he wrote his doctor, his daddy lived long enough that Gus went with him when he was four, but before he ever made a doctor, he used to go around with him. And he would go out in the country, and they'd run out there and knock an old rooster in the head and give it to him. They paid him something every time he went. It was some that didn't have anything. But he never refused. Paul said he went with Dr. Carvin one time after he had made his money by then. And he went way out. Paul said they went through gutters, and they went through dishes, and they went through places. He didn't think anybody could go. And it was a little black lady lived in that little house by herself, had lamps. And he blowed the horn, and she went out on the porch. And he went in. He went all the way in the house to see about it, because he thought she was still sick and late. And when he went in, he called her. She went in the house, and he called her and told her he wanted to check her. And he gave up. He always took some medicine. He never charged her for one pill, and I bet he gave her several hundred. He told her, he said, "Sit down, let me check you." He checked. And she said, "Wait a minute, doctor," she said, "I put you some money in my Bible so I wouldn't lose it, and so nobody wouldn't find it." And she looked for it, and turning through the Bible, the pages are thin and soft, you know, and she was nervous. And doctor said, "Oh, that's all right." He said, "I'll get it next time." She said, "No, sir." She said, "You have been so good to me, I want to give it to you now." And he said, "Well, I'll see you." He walked on down the steps, and he got near back to the car. Paul stayed in the car, and he looked up, and he said, that little woman was running like lightning. She said, "Doc, I found it. Doc, I found it." And she had it in that little $5 bill. Paul said, "It just made tears come in your eyes." He said, he started to give out and give up $5 out of his pocket. But doctor said, "Paul," he said, "don't worry." He said, "I don't ever charge her for nothing." She couldn't walk to the doctor, and nobody brought her to the doctor. And if he hadn't been one of the best doctors in the world, she wouldn't have had the attention and the medicine. And I do know, I have seen Ms. Allwood go to Bynum with one of these round, oblong babies. They used to sit babies in. The Bynum drugstore would save some of that samples. Of course, they had to keep some to give people, their customers. But they would save Doc a lot of them. And Ms. Allwood would go up there, and they would round that thing up. Not just level, round it up with medicine. And he bought, like, high blood pressure medicine and stuff like that. He had to buy that. And when you got through, and Gus knew, he could mind you tell you who to the dollar what you had in the bank. And he never asked nobody. But he was born and raised here. He knew what people did, and he could mind you tell you what people had and what they didn't have.